Hey, colleagues, welcome back to the office. It's Steve. Welcome to another edition of the CPA Today podcast, and welcome to our program for today. This is episode 25, and we've got a special treat for you today. We are going to be taking another detailed look at pivot tables. This is Excel Pivot Tables for Accountants and Financial Professionals, part two. And in this course, we are going to dive even further into one of Excel's best and most widely known and acclaimed features, pivot tables. Pivot tables, if you're not aware, are a way of quickly being able to summarize, categorize, and work with data inside of Excel. There's nothing that normal Excel functions couldn't do to produce a pivot table. There's no magic other than the fact of how simple, fast, efficient, and easy it is to be able to produce really kind of any other report that we might need. With pivot tables, for example, we can quickly do arithmetic across thousands of orders or millions of orders. We could summarize orders by customers, by products, by product line, division, or whatever else that we might need to do. And it's truly the feature in my mind that distinguishes your average Excel user or introductory Excel user from your power users. And it's definitely something you're going to need to master if you're looking to work your way up on the Excel ladder. Now, in the first part of this series, what we ended up looking at today, or the first edition of this class, was just some summary things about pivot tables, kind of getting getting a taste for what pivot tables could do. You know, so we looked at some of the base functionality, some of the main features and functions thereof, and we'll recap that just here in a moment. In the second edition of today's of this series, what we're going to look at today are going to be some of the stylistic things and formatting things that we can do, as well as some ways of getting our data ready for processing inside of a pivot table. So we're going to start off with just looking at styles. Styles are one of the least used but most powerful functions inside of Excel because they are so useful in cutting down labor in terms of making our data work for us. We can essentially, in one click, stylize our data to fit our exact organizational branding or whatever specific use case that we need. And pivot tables are no exception to this. There are some really useful ways of being able to organize our data and format our data that will literally save us hours of time. So we'll talk about styles as well as some of the unique visual appearance things of pivot tables that we should be aware of. We're going to look through some of the specific options, including the different types of pivot table report layouts. We have the compact layout, we have the outline layout, and we have the tabular layout. Each will display the data in the same way in terms of the calculations don't change, but have a different specific intention in mind, and they have a specific way of displaying that information. And so sometimes we want one or the other, just depending on the type of report that we're going for. The standard layout is what we call the compact layout. And for my money, that's probably the best one and the one that I use most often. But I'll familiarize you with the different layouts as well as some of the visual appearance of those layouts. For example, including subtotals. Do you want them? Do you not want them? As well as some of the other default options for when we're creating our pivot table reports to make our reports pop and shine in the exact way that we want them to. Now, in the second half of today's presentation, we're going to be talking about getting our data ready for Excel to create that pivot table for us. So we'll talk about importing in our data from accounting systems as well as other systems, some general best practices for making sure that it is organized correctly and effectively for the pivot table to really work well. As a kind of a way of thinking about this, all data requires some measure of cleaning up and formatting in order to be considered useful for a pivot table. There's a specific way that Excel is expecting to see that data presented in order to be able to create that pivot table. So we'll talk about some of those best practices and some more effective ways of getting your data organized so that when you get it into Excel, you're not spending any more time than you have to between data imported into Excel and creating that pivot table. We'll finish with just a brief discussion on tables. For those longtime listeners of the CPA Today podcast, you know of my longtime love of Excel tables and how much I enjoy using them everywhere, and pivot tables are no exception to that. So we'll talk about why tables are really effective and why you should be using them 100% of the time when you're creating your pivot table inside of Excel. All right, so that's what we're going to go ahead and discuss in today's podcast. I do want to remind you that if you are a financial professional, you can earn credit for listening or watching today's podcast. It's super simple. Head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code PVT2. That's Papa Victor Tango 2. And you'll take a short 5-question quiz and earn a credit for today's podcast. It's super simple. It'll take you maybe 2 minutes and you can print off a certificate and you'll be well on your way for maintaining your professional licensing. I myself have to maintain my license. I'm going to be renewing here in the great state of California at the end of the month. So you know what? I need those credits too, and I'm sure you are no different. So this is a great way of standing on top of those credits. So check out again, cpetoday.com. Use course code PVT2, and you will earn a credit for today's podcast. All right, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive into our presentation for today. Okay. And what we're going to be looking at today is going to be the specifics with respect to how we will want to stylize our workbooks, as well as how we are going to prepare our data for those workbooks. Okay. So let's go ahead and get into this. Give me 1 second here. There we go. And what we're going to start off with first is we're going to be looking at formatting options inside of our pivot tables. So there are styles, which we need to know, and some different ways of creating those styles. We'll talk about what they are. We're also going to talk about changing the appearance of those pivot tables as well, including the field headers and demand, best practices for formatting numbers, some conditional formats, the different layouts, and more. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about are going to be our pivot tables styles. And just like other styles inside of Excel, they are a series of predetermined characteristics of what that cell should look like and what those numbers should be. Now, as with all things visual with pivot tables, they are going to be located in the design menu over here in pivot tables. So inside of our pivot tables, whenever we're in our pivot table, remember, we've got these special contextual aware menus. We've got two of them, pivot table analyze and then our design tab. Okay. If I'm not inside of my pivot table, notice my active cursor right now is in the middle of this table. If we just click out of it, you'll notice those tabs go away. If we're in it, we have those tabs available. Our pivot table analyze is going to be all based around the different features and functions for calculating inside of our pivot tables, including things such as field items and sets. And this is going to be where we're going to create our calculated items. Inside of creating custom calculations for Excel, as well as some of our OLAP tools. If we're working with data modeling, which we're going to cover in future podcasts, that's where the relationships would be. But for the most part, when we're working with style stuff inside of Excel, it's going to be over here in the design tab. And front row and center, we've got our pivot table styles listed right here in the middle. And what we have listed is a series of default options that are available for making our data a specific color format inside of Excel. Okay. And they've grouped them into a couple of different major categories, you know, light colors, medium colors, and dark colors, just depending on what you're looking for. And you can see here, as I hover over this, automatically it is changing the visual appearance of that data behind it. So if we look over here, this is our default option. This is the ice blue pivot style medium, you know, and if we wanted to, for example, have our header be dark, we could just come down a couple of rows here and we'll see that ice blue with the dark header or footer. Now, this is so much preferred to manually styling our data inside of Excel, you know, and in as many instances as possible, we should just let Excel automatically apply the styling for us. I see too many financial professionals, you know, frankly, just wasting their time with the manual formatting inside of Excel, and when the system and software would do it just automatically for you. So there are, I'm going to say probably at least 50 or so default options inside of this. There are 85. Okay. And inside of this. And so we can even set our default option if we would like to. So if we are inside of our style options and we see a particular style, maybe this is this red that we like so much. If we right click on that particular style, you'll see, let me see if I can zoom in on this. There we go. Okay. You'll see that when we right click on that particular style, you'll see that option that says set as default. Now, what Excel is doing when we select that set as default is that it is updating our default template inside of Excel, and it is setting that as that default option. And so going forward, if we create a new pivot table, that option that we have selected will now be that default characteristic for us. So if you don't like the blue and you want the red, or you want the green or the teal or whatever you happen to be, instead of always having to change it, you can just select that set as default and it will be that correct option going forward. Likewise, you can also set add gallery to quick access toolbar. If we select that particular option, it's going to map that gallery directly up to that quick access toolbar, making it just a little bit easier for us to be able to go and get. Now, we're not limited just to the styles that Microsoft feels that we should have. We can create our own as well. Okay, so if we come back into this pivot table design section, you'll see down here at the bottom, there's this option that says new pivot table style. So we can create our own style. Now, if you're often working with the same data over and over, like for example, like for financial reporting, sales journals, expense journals, things of this nature, and your company, for example, has specific branding. We have specific colors, logos, fonts, things of this nature, it's going to be worth your time to define default styles. The reason being is that your documents will be consistent when they are leaving the office. They will always look the same. Additionally, this is a great way of, you know, let's say if you're trying to produce a financial statement up to GAAP standards, GAAP being generally accepted accounting principles. Well, you know, there are very specific standards on how GAAP statements should be formatted. Well, defining that default pivot table style to like a GAAP format would save you a heck of a lot of time. Let's go ahead and take a look at what that looks like to create that new style. Now, there are lots of different characteristics with respect to the style for our pivot table. The first thing is that we would give it a name. Okay, so let's just go ahead and we're going to call this one the CP Today style. Okay, now we have specific elements that we can modify. We can modify stuff across the whole table. We can modify, for example, how our formula filters and values should be displayed, as well as our first column, first row, second row, header row, total row. There are a lot of granular options that we can set in here. So if we select the whole table, for example, here, and then we go ahead and we select our format, this is going to be where we can come in to figure out how that specific style should be formatted, what font should be used, whether or not it should have a border, a fill, whether or not it should be a specific font size, so on and so forth. And we can get into the very granular nature of defining that to be whatever we would like it to be. Now, personally, I find that to be incredibly tedious. And what I would recommend that you do is instead take one of the existing styles that are listed inside of here and rather, instead of creating it from scratch, duplicate it. So let's go ahead and pick my personal favorite, which are going to be these ice light blue and ice blue colors. I just think these generally look the best. And instead of creating a brand new one, let's just go ahead and duplicate that by right-clicking on that particular style, selecting that duplicate. And now you'll see that instead of having to create from scratch, we can just go ahead and create our own. So we'll call it again, the CP Today style. Okay. And you know, in our company, we love the Open Sans font. So I'm going to select the whole table. I'm going to select format and we can go ahead and choose a different color, different border, different font, different whatever that we might choose to affect here. So let me just go ahead and see if I can change this. It doesn't want to change this the font. I think I might have that set somewhere else inside of the document. Let me try one more thing here. Let's just clear this. Let's try clearing our header row. And let's go ahead and clear that. And I don't know why it's not letting me select that, but normally that would pop up here and let me choose a different font if I'd like. And I might have that set at the document level, which is why that might not be appearing. But this is generally where we would go and we would select, for example, the specific fonts, colors, and other things that we would like. And then it would be available for us going forward. So let's just leave this as is. Let's go ahead and select the CP Today. We'll go ahead and click OK. And if we come back into this, you'll see right up top here under Custom, we have now that CP Today style that is listed. And it would be available for us in whatever other documents we choose to use because it's now part of that template of Excel. So creating those default styles, I personally find to be quite effective. And from here, we can basically select, the colors and fonts and themes and things that are most like whatever company that we would like to do. Alrighty. So let's go ahead and take a look at some of the other options here. And let's talk about changing our document itself and talk about our headers. Okay, so I'm going to come over here to our pivot table analyze, and I'm going to go ahead and just turn on our field list, mostly just so I have it available so you can see this. And I want you to see over here the headers button, right? This is in the pivot table analyze upper right hand corner. You'll see this header field headers button. Look what happens if we turn that off and on. Okay. If we turn that off and on, we get the data filtering buttons that will pop up over here. Okay. So this gives us the option to be able to sort and filter. And from here, we can go ahead and we can turn off and on these buttons if we would like. And so you'll also notice, let me go ahead and create a new pivot table. So I'm going to come back over here to our raw data here. If you purchase today's course, you'll get copies of all these sample files. You can try this out for yourself. But let's just create a new pivot table from this raw data. So we're going to come over here to the insert menu, pivot table. Let's go ahead and insert this new pivot table here. And let's go ahead and put our amount down here to values and put our vendor over here to rows. And let's go ahead and put our, there we go. Okay. And let's go ahead and give this a nice style as well. So besides creating our, with our field headers turning off and on our filter buttons, notice there's also this column labels and row labels that will pop up here. Okay. Now the field headers button will turn off and on the filtering buttons, but it also turns off and on the label that would apply both to that columns and rows. What you should know is like sometimes you maybe want to be able to customize that for whatever reason you might want, you know? So for example, here, if I don't want to call this our column labels, what we can do instead is that we can rename this. And what we would put is our active cell over both the row labels or the column labels and choose to give it a different name. Now we could just take it out if we wanted to, by just taking it out as an example here, you'll see that that option goes away and it's just basically that button. Okay, but instead, if we choose, for example, we could put in, let's just say check date. Okay, and we can go ahead over here instead of row labels, we can go ahead and we can say, actually, let's flip that around. Let's put our account above our vendor. Okay, we can go over here and say chart of accounts. Like that. Okay, and by clicking that field headers, we can turn those items off and on as needed. Now, additionally, we can come over here to where it says sum of amount. And again, we can do the same thing. We could just take that field. We could just update that, or we could take it out as needed. Typically, I recommend that you give this a nice summary. And this would be, for example, checks by account and vendor. Man, let's just compare that, for example, just to our default pivot table here. Having a little bit of extra detail, both at the column and row level, man, does that make that data a little bit more approachable and a little bit easier to read and use. So that is a little bit with respect to our field headers and how those specific items work and calculate and how they are displayed. And so we get total control over how those headers are applied, when they're on, when they're off, by just using that field header button. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about here is going to be changing the format of numbers inside of our pivot table. The format is really important because not only will the format determine how the numbers are visually appearing inside of this, but it'll also change sometimes how some of the style is applied inside of the pivot table as well. So what we sometimes want to be able to do with this is that we might, for example, want to change how that particular number is formatted, how that particular number is displayed. And there are a couple of major different types of formats that we should be aware of. Now, most of these formats are going to be listed over here under the Home tab. And then you'll see, for example, the Numbers section listed right here. Now, by default, we are in what's called the general format, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's general. However, what we will notice, for example, with the general format when we're working with data inside of Excel is that we will get various inconsistencies with the data itself. A good example of this would be over here, looking at some of the differences of these numbers. Okay, in this particular instance, the numbers above it and below it have a decimal point, 13,658.24 versus rent, which is just a flat 2,400. Okay, well, that's what's common with the general format, is that it is going to be your most common but generally accepted formatting options. Other options that we have available for us would be, for example, our accounting number format with the decimal and the currency sign, as well as our accounting format with the comma style. Now, I will tell you from practice, you're always best first applying the style to your data, and then secondarily going and then applying the number format that you want to display there. You always want to do the style first, then the number format second, whatever possible. The reason being is that when we're turning off and on things like underline or other characteristics, like, you know, for example, increasing or decreasing the decimal precision, you know, the number format that you choose over here will have an impact on how those numbers are displayed. So kind of once you get your data in the format that you'd like it to be, you know, select the data in general and apply the most common type of number format that you would want. In this particular instance, I would want to select the comma style. And notice once I do that, a couple of things automatically happen. Notice, for example, that the numbers snap to the correct position. We also see a consistent number of decimals that are displayed. And also things like with the comma style, you'll notice that the numbers themselves are more adequately formatted inside of that cell. You'll see that they are right aligned, and you'll notice that all the decimal points now fully line up here. Okay, so first apply that number comma style. Then the next thing I'd like to do is get the precision correct. So in this particular instance, I don't want to display the decimal for every single number. I don't need that level of precision. So I'm going to select all of these right here, and then I'm going to go ahead and just remove that decimal point by clicking the decrease precision, decrease decimal button 2 times to remove that top, to remove those additional decimal points. Now from here, if we're going for gap style, we want to include a currency sign on the top row and the bottom row, indicating that these are financial numbers and we're working with United States dollars. We would go ahead and we select that top row here. We go ahead and select that currency format, decrease our decimal again, and likewise for that bottom row, we would select that row, go ahead and select that decimal format, or sorry, currency format, and decreasing it as well. And that's how we would end up with a very cleanly oriented and designed table for displaying that those numbers correctly. Now, the reason we wouldn't want to, for example, select the entire data set and then apply the currency format is that when we do this, you'll notice all of it goes back. You also notice, for example, that the decimal returns back to the 2 digits. Well, that's pretty common, for example, when you're working with, you know, these particular number formats. When we change the number format, it puts that number back to whatever the default is. And for both the comma style and the currency style, the default is 2 decimals. So apply your pivot table style first, then go ahead and apply the number format that you would like it to be. Now, besides the actual number format itself, we have the option also to, you know, for example, display other formats as well. Okay, so let me just show you this. Okay, if we select just a number here and then over here from our home menu, and from the home menu from the numbers section, you'll see there's an itty bitty arrow pointing down in the lower right hand corner. Okay, and what that little itty bitty arrow pointing down from that little right-hand corner tells us is that there is an additional menu for that specific work group. So if we select that little itty-bitty menu, okay, we're going to get our format cells menu to pop up. Likewise, if we select a range of cells, right-click and select number format, we'll get that same format cells to pop up here. We have a plethora, a myriad, a large selection of different options with respect to how to display our numbers inside of Excel. And you'll notice, for example, our accounting format is listed here, as well as other formats, for example, for time, both date and time itself. And we also have other methods that are probably not going to be as a value to financial folks, but certainly to scientists and engineers, which would be, for example, like the fraction, the scientific, and the engineering formats. We can also come down here to our custom, and from this custom format, we can literally write whatever format that we would like to appear. And I know if you've ever looked through Excel, you've probably come across this menu at some point, and you've looked at this and thought to yourself, what the heck do these things mean? What the heck are these numbers? What the heck are these codes? Well, these actually represent style formats for Excel, and there's an actual syntax language for any format that you would want. And when we look at this, there's actually four different codes being displayed here. And it tells Excel how to format that number if it is positive, how to format that number if it's negative, how to format that number if it's zero, and how to format that number if it is text. So we could tell Excel really to kind of do anything we want. You'll notice, for example, here it has like these brackets red. It's also got the hash sign or the pound sign throughout that. All that is doing is telling Excel, like, for example, if it's negative, color it red. The commas and the hash sign are telling it what to do if it's a large number and how many decimals essentially to display. The point of this is, with your pivot table, you can really display your data any way you want for whatever purpose you might want to display it, and you can really do some really nifty things with it. Alrighty, folks, let's go ahead and have our first review question for the day. Alrighty, which of the following statements are true about pivot tables inside of Excel? Okay, so which of the following statements are true about pivot table styles inside of Excel? The calculation method of the data in the table. Okay, well, does it have an impact on the calculation method of the table? No, it does not. Styles are permanent and cannot be changed without recreating the table. Certainly not. You could change the style for a pivot table at any point. Is it a series of predefined formatted characteristics? You betcha. That is what styles are inside of pivot tables. They basically, we predetermine colors for the rows, for the columns, the banding, the totals, you name it. We basically just go ahead and tell Excel what that should look like. And then we can easily recall that with just a simple click of the button for the specific format that we would like to use. Okay, so let's go ahead and switch back over to Excel. And let's talk about my next favorite function inside of Excel for pivot tables, which is going to be conditional formatting for Excels. Alrighty. So again, I want to point out that if you purchase today's course, you get a variety of sample materials available to you. We have, I think for this course, like 8 or 10 or so sample files kind of showing how each of these different functions work, as well as about a 40-page book that will walk you through in very good detail, essentially how to do all the different things that I'm doing here today. And that book will give you good insight with respect to how you can master these particular items that I am showing you here. And so the sample files and the book are both available for included when you choose to purchase today's class, as well as the CPE certificate. Wow, what an incredible value. Okay, so let's talk about conditional formatting. Now, conditional formatting is one of my favorite functions inside of Excel because it allows us to be able to quickly and easily be able to organize our data and be able to understand trends that are occurring inside of our data. Okay, so we have here a simple pivot table, nothing to write home about, and we're taking sales and then we're analyzing those sales. Sorry, we're taking checks for expenses and we're analyzing them by category. So here's what this data looks like raw. Okay, we have a date, we have a check number, we have the amount, the vendor, and we're trying to understand, for example, where our money is going and where we are spending funds for our business. Okay, well, the human mind is not really good at picking up trends and numbers, especially when there's a lot of numbers next to each other. However, we really are good at spatial reasoning and really good at picking up on colors. Well, one of the really cool things that you can do with Excel is that you can use conditional formatting to essentially stylize your data based off of the value that that cell currently has. And if that value changes, like it goes up, it goes down, well, we will see that value also correspondingly adjust the formatting for Excel as well. Now, conditional formatting is going to be located over here under the Home tab. Right smack in the dab in the middle, you'll see listed right here our conditional formatting button, okay? Right next to Format as a Table. More on that in a little bit. Okay, and from here, what we can do is we can choose to stylize our data through other methods. So we actually have three sets of data that we should be aware of. We have our raw data, which is listed right here. We have one set of totals, which is listed right here. And we have another set of totals, which is listed down here. One of the things that gets people screwed up on when they are working with conditional formatting is that they select all the data. Okay, and then they come over here to conditional format. They go ahead and they select something like color scales, and then they're confused why nothing seems to kind of look correct, you know? In this particular instance, with conditional formatting, it's evaluating the specific cell, but in the context of the scope of the conditional format, meaning in this particular instance, the stuff that is larger gets stylized green, the stuff that is smaller gets stylized as red, and everything in between is some sort of shade of red or green. And in this instance, if we stylize the whole table, you'll notice that, well, certainly our large grand total, which is sum of everything, is the only thing that's really green here. What we want to do is be conscious of where these different items start and stop. And so with conditional formatting, we want to select either totals or raw data, but not both. Now, we can have multiple sets of conditional formatting appearing on the same report, but we want them to be discrete. So we apply conditional formatting once, and then we apply it a second time with a different set of data. So we selected our raw data here. We're going to come on over here to the Home tab again. Right smack dab in the middle, we will see our conditional formatting pop up. And in this instance, let's go ahead and do those color scales. Let's go ahead and stylize them red, yellow, and green. And we can see here that very quickly, we can get a sense of where our top performers and bottom performers are. We can see that our insurance is consistently a pretty low expense. We could see that our payroll expense in the month of December was pretty high. And we can see that other stuff is roughly in between. You know, and so that's what's really nice about conditional formatting. Without really kind of having to have a major familiarity or understanding of the data itself, we can analyze this data and we can see essentially the outliers, you know, where the biggest and smallest stuff is. Let's go ahead and take a look at our total row here. Okay, and let's add another set of conditional formatting to this total row. I'm just going to make this column just a little bit bigger. And for this one, let's go ahead and apply iconography. So again, we're going to select discrete cells, the cells that we would want to apply to. In this case, it was that grand total, but not the grand total with the bottom. And we'll select our icon sets and we can select, again, our traffic lights. In this case, it is red, amber, and green as well. Okay, and over here, we can go ahead and we can see our top and bottom expenses with no shocker here, payroll being our largest expense, as well as food being our largest expense since we're a restaurant, and really kind of everything else being somewhere in between. Here's another type of conditional formatting. Let's select that same set of cells, but let's give ourselves a little bit more detail. I'm going to go ahead and hide these other cells here just to make our work here a little bit easier. And let's grab our grand totals. And let's go over here again to the Home tab, conditional formatting, and select our data bars. I love data bars. What data bars show us is the size of something relative to the population. And we can see how big payroll is compared to literally every other expense inside of here. And we can see how large that number is relative to everything else. And so we can see that it just dwarfs all other expenses with the exception of food combined. Now, the other thing about conditional formatting is when the numbers themselves change, okay, let's say, for example, and I'm going to really exaggerate our insurance expense here, and let's just make it a really big number. Oh, God. Sorry, I actually need to go back to the raw data. So I'm going to go back to the raw data here, and let's go look for our rent. I'm going to make it just a really big raw number. Okay. Okay, just to drastically overestimate the size of this expense. Okay, so we're going to make it $1 million roughly. Okay, we're going to come back over here and we're going to hit data and we're going to select the refresh button. Okay, notice all the conditional formatting of this changes. Okay, so that one expense, that turns green, everything else turns red. And we can also see down here that how large that expense is relative to the rest of the stuff. So what's beautiful about conditional formatting is that it will automatically adjust when the data itself adjusts as well. So it's really dynamic in that sense. And I just really like the fact that I can essentially set this to, you know, kind of give me almost like a dashboard, like a heads up display, some key performance indicators with it, without really a lot of other work in there without me having to really kind of do a lot of other work. Okay. So let's go ahead and talk about our next thing, which are going to be the different types of pivot table layouts. Alrighty. So you should know that there are different views of pivot tables, and we can easily be able to change between those different layouts as needed. Okay, so over here on figure 25 through 28, our pivot table report layouts. And when we want to adjust that layout, it is going to be over here in that design tab. And from that design tab, you will see in the upper right-hand corner a couple of groups of functions that we should be aware of. Okay, and the one we're going to look at right now is smack dab right in the middle of that report layout work group, and it is report layout. Now, by default, we are in the compact layout. Compact layout, I like this one the best because I like it brings the data all together. It makes it easy to look at and be able to easily analyze. Okay, we could switch over here to the outline format. Outline format, notice the only difference is that instead of the compact where it puts, for example, the rows below it. Let me just go ahead and switch my view here. So notice these two items are stacked, our product and region. With our compact layout, okay, it puts those below it. In our outline format, for every step of graduation, we will see another column. So it kind of will make it, you know, essentially a little bit more broken out. Here's a quick pro tip. If you decrease the column A, you can kind of mimic that compact layout, but giving yourself a little bit more space. And the third type of layout that we have available to us is our tabular form. And so tabular form, very similar to that, but it doesn't, you know, it doesn't increase the number of rows. It essentially just kind of puts those items together where it will stack the subgroup, the lower child items in the parent row as well. So here, I'll show you that again. Here we have our subtotals up top here, and we see this. If we go ahead and we switch this over to our tabular layout, we can see that total row moves to the bottom, and we now just basically have it in line. Math doesn't change, arithmetic doesn't change. All of this essentially stays the same. And then from here, we can create whatever other type of analysis that we would like. Okay, so a couple other features around the layouts that we should be available for it. Okay, over here, we, for example, have repeating all labels. Well, in this particular instance, notice it will repeat the label on the right-hand side, left-hand side going down for the actual report itself. Personally, that gets very derivative, so I personally don't recommend that. I'm going to go ahead and switch this back over here to the compact layout. There we go. Okay, so if we want to repeat those labels, we certainly can. Another feature, if we look over here to the right, blank rows. Okay, what are these blank rows? Okay, blank rows will give us a little bit of separation in our data, making it a little bit easier to understand and work with. So if we come over here to our blank rows insert, notice it just puts a blank row between each major group. I like this. Again, it makes it a little bit easier to understand. Likewise, we also have our totaling. We have subtotals and grand totals. Okay, so right now we have subtotals at the top. We could choose to put, for example, the subtotals at the bottom. Okay, I don't particularly like this because, again, it becomes derivative. We'll see, for example, the word astringent organic 16 ounce listed twice. And this just seems, again, just kind of a waste of space. So I like to, for example, put mine at the top, and you can also choose to not display them at all. It's, you know, player's choice. Likewise, we have our grand totals. We could turn these off or on for rows or columns. We can have them on for both, off for both, one for one or the other. And it just is a matter of preference. I personally find, like, let's say, for example, and I'm going to filter down here to just show a single year. Okay, so let's just go ahead and let's just say we only want to show stuff where it is after 2017. Okay. So we're going to filter out those other items. Sometimes where the grand totals, I think, could be quite derivative is when you just have a single column. So let's just go ahead and say on for rows and columns. Well, this is kind of where we end up with this. You know, we have a single thing we're analyzing, in this case, a single year. Well, by default, when grand totals are listed on, we also see it repeated, you know. So in this particular instance, it makes sense to turn off the grand totals just because it's repeated, you know. So if you're only working with one item, you probably don't need it. Feel free to go ahead and turn off that reports, those grand totals for those different items. Okay, now there's a couple other characteristics that you should be familiar with respect to styling your options for pivot tables. Okay, so with respect to kind of your options for this, you've got stuff within the field value itself, and then you also have stuff within the pivot table itself, which are useful and important to know. Okay, first over here, let's take a look at our stringent 16 ounce listed. Okay, I'm going to right click on this. I'm going to go ahead and select field value settings. Okay, and from this field value settings, we can access many of the pieces of this that we would also access in the toolbar we could find inside of this field value settings screen as well. And in fact, we'll probably get a little bit more of the configuration that we would get in other parts of the application. You know, for example, our subtotals aren't limited to just summing things. We can count them, we can do min, match, product, whatever we choose to do. Additionally, we can also change the name of that particular field if needed. If we click over here to our layout and print, well, we get a lot more specifications on how this should be laid out, whether or not it should be an outline form or in tabular form. We also get the options to repeat item labels and whether or not if a field value is empty, if it should be displayed. We can also insert breaks after each area. So that if we're printing a large report that we see those breaks, it makes it easier to print. Now, another option that we should be familiar with is also the pivot table tools itself and the options for this specific table. So from the pivot table analyze, we're going to click over here to the options on the left hand side of the pivot table analyze. You'll see the little options presented here. And from here, this is where we can get into the very nitty gritty details of the macro level settings of that pivot table report. So whether or not, for example, cells should be merged and centered with the labels, how totals should be presented and turned off or on, likewise for the buttons and the collapse and things of this nature. But two options I want you to be very familiar with are going to be located over here under the layout and format. I want you to see these little guys right here. Auto fit column widths on update, preserve cell formatting on update. Okay. Now, what the auto fit will do is if the data set grows, like you have more data to display, it's going to automatically adjust the width of your columns. This could be very helpful or enraging if you're dealing with data and you don't want the actual layout to change. If you refresh the data and you do not want the columns to change, ensure that that auto fit column widths on update is unselected. And then when you go to, for example, adjust the width of a column and you reset that particular item, well, you're not going to see those other columns change. It'll essentially keep that width that you have selected. And again, sometimes you want that, sometimes you don't want that, you know? So in this particular instance, you'll notice if we come over here and we select refresh all, it's going to change that back. Now, in this particular instance, I want that feature, but sometimes I don't. Now, the other feature that we should be familiar with, okay, also pivot table analyze options, is going to be preserve cell formatting on update. Now, if this is selected, if you style a column or a row or make something bold and you update that data, it's not going to blow out your changes when you update that column or row. So I'm going to unselect this, and then we're going to go ahead and select and style, you know, a couple of columns here and just change a couple of colors and, you know, just generally just monkey around a little bit here. Now with that option unselected, if we select data refresh all, notice that when I refresh it, it's going to blow out my changes. Well, ensuring that preserved format is selected when update will ensure that your pivot table itself does not change. So that is a little bit about the pivot table options. And these are really good options to have with respect to when you're stylizing these, how the pivot table should look and function. Okay, let's go ahead and have our second review question for the day. Which of the following is not a type of report layout inside of Excel? So what is not a layout? Is it the compact layout? Nope, that is definitely a layout option. Is it the outline layout? Nope, that's definitely an option as well. Is it the tabular layout? Nope, that's definitely an option. The correct option here is going to be our horizontal portrait layout. You have horizontal portrait orientation, but we do not have a specific layout for that horizontal or portrait. I will point out where those settings actually are. So if you switch back over here to our sample file, under page layout, we have our orientation portrait landscape. And this is useful, you know, depending on the style of report we need. Sometimes it makes more sense to lay it out horizontally or vertically. This would be where we would adjust that. And truthfully, these settings only matter if you're going to print it. Okay. Now, one last thing I want to show you with respect to pivot table styles that will save your bacon is the fact that you could default all these options to whatever you would like them to be. So if we come over here to the file menu, select options, and from options, we go ahead and we select the data tab. You'll see first option here, make changes to the default layout of pivot tables. If we select this default layout, we can really get into the nitty gritty details. For example, whether or not subtotal should be on or off, grand totals, likewise, any of the pivot table options can also be customized, and this will save it as part of your default template. So I personally, on my production data, you know, I've already gone ahead. I've already got my standard. I love, for example, the compact layout. I love the blank rows. I like my subtotals at the top. That's essentially how I have structured all of this. And, you know, if you do pivot tables a lot, which I'm guessing you are, if you're watching this, or maybe you hope to use pivot tables a lot, setting those default options, boy, will it save you a lot of time. Alrighty. So in our next section, and we're going to talk about just some precursor functionality to get your data ready for pivot tables. And we're going to dive into this specific section deeper in future podcasts. But I do want to introduce a topic for you that you might not be familiar with, which are tables for pivot tables. And I know that sounds a little derivative, but bear with me here. Okay. Tables are a precursor functionality that you can use to better organize your data inside of Excel, and they should be used in every possible format and every possible analysis inside of Excel. In my opinion, they add so much value to Excel and to your pivot table, and they pretty much should be just used 100% of the time. So if you're hearing me, whenever you're going to go ahead and create a pivot table inside of Excel, create a table first and then create your pivot table from that data. Now, Excel has some traditional limitations with respect to how pivot tables can operate. And it's going to vary depending on what version of Excel you have, how new your computer is, but we can make pivot tables that are really big, you know, millions, like a million rows now, which is pretty cool. What's even cooler though, if we need to analyze larger sets of data, we can use a table to better manage that. And we can get around many of the limitations with respect to number of rows and columns that we can use inside of Excel. If we use a table, we can essentially make it as big as we want it to be. If we use a table in conjunction with Power Query, holy smokes, we can pull in dynamic data from really kind of anywhere, that data might live. We can pull it from other spreadsheets. We can pull it in from other databases, you name it, even PDFs, believe it or not. Now, if this is a particular interest to you, I'm going to recommend you check out our tables course specifically. I just want to introduce the topic and talk about specifically why tables are fantastic for pivot tables inside of Excel. Okay, so what we have here is that same sales journal that we've been working with for the podcast. And what we see here is just a sales journal that breaks down our sales by time, region, product, and then sales amount. Okay. Now, normally when we go to create a pivot table from here, this would be from the insert menu, and we would go ahead and we would select pivot table. And I want to draw your attention to what it looks like when we go to create that pivot table from default. Okay, it's going to ask us, select a table or range, and when it is not a table, it will say the name of the worksheet and then the position of where that data is located. So notice it says A1 to D2881. Okay, now we can go ahead and, just like we've always done before, create our pivot table and be able to calculate it and create our report the same way that we always have. Okay, so let me just go ahead and pull that over here. But let's drop down to the bottom of this data set. And what happens when we want to put in a new record in here? Okay, so let's go ahead and put in 01/01/2018. Let's say it's the West, and we'll just copy the row above it and say $10,000 in sales. Okay, now let's come back over here to our pivot table that we have created. Notice that that record is not here. We do not see a column for 2018. Well, let's try refreshing the data. So we'll come over here to the data tab. We'll click that refresh all. Notice again, I can hit this 100,000 times. We're not going to see that 2018 record included. Okay, well, how do we get that new record in here? Well, from the pivot table analyze menu, smack dab right in the middle under the data work group, you'll see this option that says change data source. Okay. Under normal pivot tables, they do not grow dynamically. If we add another column, we add another row, we are not going to see that row or column inserted into our analysis. What we have to do is come on over here to the pivot table analyze, select change data source. And if we scroll down here to the bottom again, you'll see that that one lonely row is not included. We'd have to update it in this particular example to include that new row, and then sure enough, that 2018 value would be listed in this for us, okay? So here's that row listed right here, okay? Well, in reality, data is dynamic now, okay? Data is something that is living, and it is something that is constantly modifying, and it's something that is constantly being improved upon, and we're always adding new records. And if we think about the work that accounting is doing for the most part, it's the same work month in, month out, okay? So we want our pivot tables to be able to grow as our data grows, to dynamically adjust if new records are added or deleted or updated or whatever, okay? We can do that, and it's very simple. The only thing that we have to do ahead of time is turn the data into a table. When we turn the data into a table, it adds a number of features and functions to our work. The biggest of which is that it makes the data set dynamic. When we go to create our pivot table, rather than saying, hey, go look at this particular worksheet, this row to this row, this column to this column, instead, it basically will give it a name, and anything in the scope of that name, anything in the scope of that table will then be included in the scope of that pivot table, instantly making our data for our pivot table dynamic. New rows get added, they're automatically included in the pivot table. All we have to do is refresh them. So, what we're going to do this, we'll come over here to our insert menu, and we're just going to select the insert table. And as long as our data is contiguous, we will see that it will automatically pick up where that data starts and stops. Now, there are a number of best practices, which unfortunately we do not have time to get into, but I will, again, refer you to check out our series on tables and data modeling. We've done 3 episodes so far. I've got like another 5 planned. This is how powerful and important this topic is. I know it seems kind of benign, but trust me, there is so much power in tables that I'm excited and ecstatic to share it with you. And I'd recommend you check it out to learn all the reasons why. But The best practice I would tell you, make sure your data is contiguous. And the second best practice would be to ensure that your data has headers. There's not a single instance where I could think of where you would not want header rows. And the third would be to give your data a name. Okay, so our data is contiguous. Our data has header rows. Let's go ahead and select this OK. And you'll notice instantly style is applied. Now, the next thing I want to do is come over here to my table design. We'll see our table one, and we're just going to update this instead of being table one, but rather give it a friendly name. And in this case, we're going to go ahead and just call it sales. Like this. And now that has context. Now, from our table design, you'll notice we have summarize with pivot table. And we can also come over here to our insert menu and select pivot table as well. And the biggest difference of which is that instead of having the range of where that data starts and stops, it just has the name of the table. To drill it in, if it's in the scope of the table, it is in the scope of the pivot table. We're going to go ahead and click OK. And in doing so, we will go and create our pivot table just like before. So we'll pull our month over to our columns, we'll pull our region down to rows, we'll pull our product down to rows, and we'll pull our sales over to values. Now let's switch back over here to our data where it is now in a table. Okay, and in column E here, let's go ahead and create a new column. We're going to call it sales tax collected. Okay, writing formulas inside of tables is even easier than normal. We're going to go ahead and point it at our sales column. And let's just infer that our sales tax is 8%. Okay, 8%. Notice how it replicates that. And let's just come down over here to the bottom of our table just again, and we'll create a new record for January 1st, 2018. Okay, we're going to put it in the West, and we'll call it, again, the scrub. And let's say it's $10,000 in sales. Okay. And so we have added a new row, 2,882, and a new column, sales tax collected. And let's come over here to our, original pivot table. Okay, so we have our new column listed for 2018 because we redefined it. And let's just refresh that original table. Okay, notice we don't get our new column here. We don't get a column that says sales tax collected. Let's switch over here to our new pivot table that we've created from the table. And notice our sales tax collected is now listed in here. And we can pull that over here to our values. And we now have that value included. Likewise, our 2018 is also listed in here as well. We did not need to come to the pivot table analyze, change our data source to include a new row or a new column. If it is in the scope of the table, it is inside the scope of the pivot table. And so for that reason alone, take it from me, 100% of the time, use a table before creating a pivot table. It'll save you effort if you expect that data set to in any way change or grow. Besides that fact, it will also make your life so much faster and easier with respect to processing, writing formulas, replicating formulas. They are just seriously such a wonderful feature, and I just do not see enough accountants using them. Now, we are going to dive deeper into data formatting and processing our data. There's a lot more to unpack in here. So I just wanted to wet your beak, tell you a little bit about tables, tell you to check out that series. But we're going to look at other options, especially as we talk about data coming from QuickBooks and Xero and other major accounting systems, how we can get that data inside of Excel and processing it to make pivot tables. So we're going to dive into that in future episodes as well. Let's go ahead and have our final review question for the day. When should Excel tables be used for creating a pivot tables? When creating a pivot table, how should they be used? Should tables never be used? They slow down your data. Absolutely not. That is not the correct answer here. They do not slow down your data at all. Occasionally, they don't really help. Nope, that is not correct either. They help tremendously. Whenever the user would like one. Yeah, you know, whenever you want it, but I tell you, you'd be better off using one than not. The correct answer here would be always. They improve virtually all aspects, and they are awesome. So definitely use them whenever you're going to create a pivot table. Man, will it sure save you some time. So what did we talk about today and what did we learn? Well, today we looked about different methods of formatting and styling our data in pivot tables inside of Excel. And there's a lot to unpack there, particular skills to learn. And we also talked about some best practices for importing our data to create pivot tables inside of it with creating a table first. Now, in future series and future episodes of this series, we're going to go ahead and talk about creating custom calculations inside of Excel with calculated columns and groups. This allows us to do calculations from the raw data. It's not creating new data, but it's creating calculations from the raw data that do not exist already in the data itself. And so it's its own syntax language, its own way of creating them. There's a lot of specifics that we should know, but if we're looking to create calculations from pivot table data, we have to use the specific methods. And we'll talk about what they are and some different ways that we can use them. And we'll also talk about analyzing our data with other functionalities, such as conditional formatting. We'll dive into that and further pivot charts. And we're also going to talk about advanced techniques too, including tools such as Power Pivot, data modeling. Is pivot data modeling useful and Power Pivot useful? It's the relational model of data. What is it? Why should you be using it? As well as advanced techniques of bringing our data in using tools such as Power Query. Pivot tables have long been the hallmark feature of Excel. Mastering this, in my opinion, is one of those steps on the mastery to really knowing how to use Excel effectively. And I'm so excited to be able to help you improve and increase your knowledge in this area. Well, as our final reminder, if you are a financial professional and you need continuing education credits, you need CPE today. It is very simple to earn credits and stay on top of your continuing education for your license. If you like today's podcast and you want to get a credit for today's podcast, all you have to do is head on over to cpetoday.com and use course code PVT2. You'll take a short 5-question quiz. You'll breeze through it in 2 minutes and you'll earn a credit for watching or listening to today's podcast. And you'll even get a certificate so that you can turn it into your state licensing board. In addition to your purchase for the class, you'll also get a copy of the learning materials. There are about 8 to 10 or so sample files that I've included that I walked through here today, and you can try it for yourself, as well as a copy of the book. I wrote a 40-page book on this, everything, you know, top to bottom that you would want to know on how to do styling and importing data into Excel for pivot tables. And you can follow along. The materials in the book are very complementary to each other, as well as the ability to ask me questions and my colleagues' questions. We love helping folks, and we'd love nothing more than to answer your questions on all things pivot tables. If you like today's content, please consider following us on social media. We'd love to know what you think. You can find us on almost all social media channels at the name CPE Today. We'd encourage you to, you know, connect with us on Twitter, subscribe to us on YouTube, Facebook, and others. We're always trying to post new content, new podcasts, as well as content throughout the week to help you stay on top of your continuing education, as well as to learn new skills in and around finance and accounting and business in general. We'd love for you to leave a comment or a review of our content. Additionally, you can always connect with us and listen to us and watch us on your own time. Our podcast is available on Apple, as well as Spotify, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and others. We'd love for you to leave a comment or even perhaps subscribe if you really like our content. Every little bit helps, and hopefully you like today's stuff and you can let us know what you think. As always, it is an absolute pleasure and honor being with you here today. Thank you so much for your time and attention and learning with us. So many more great things to come in this series. So stay tuned for more content in the future. Best wishes. Good luck.